95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. My day is starting out just great, and it's because yesterday I had an amazing shopping experience, and I know a lot of ladies can relate to me. When you go out, whether you're looking for something specific or not, when you come home and you got some good buys while you're out, I mean, for me, I get this amazing feeling. It's just so exciting. So every year I look at the Pottery Barn catalog when I get it, and around Easter time, they come out. Obviously, they have all their Easter decorations, and usually on the cover, they'll do a dining room table setting with all the decorations and the different table wear and all of that. So a few years ago, I loved what was on the cover and I actually recreated it myself. So instead of spending the money, because Pottery Barn can be expensive, I decided to recreate what they had done. So glitter was in for Easter decorations a few years ago. So I actually bought plastic eggs. I glittered them myself. They had crystal candle holders with the glitter eggs on top of them. I found crystal candle holders at TJ Maxx. I glittered the eggs myself. I filled containers and I made the whole table setting. It looked great. I absolutely loved it. But flash forward a few years down the line, I'm kind of sick of it. The glitter is coming off of the eggs. I want to get rid of it and I want it to start over again. So I, again, got the Pottery Barn catalog, and it had a great table setting. This year, it had a lot of that mercury glass. So they had mercury glass eggs. They had some pastel-colored eggs. They had some brighter-colored eggs. And then a lot of clear eggs with candles or colored lights on the inside. It was very pretty. So I thought, okay, I'm going to splurge. I'm going to spend the money. I had a 20% off coupon. I figure I'll go to Pottery Barn. I'll pick out everything I want, and I'll just spend the money, I'll use the coupon, and I'll get it all. So I got there, and I'm totaling everything up, and it's going to be expensive, and really, I could probably wait until the end of the season and then buy it all on sale. So I didn't get it. I thought, let me just run to Home Goods, TJ Maxx, Marshalls. I'll do my rounds, and I'll see what I can find. So that's what I did, and I have to tell you, I found almost exactly the same stuff that they're selling at Pottery Barn, and I found it all at Home Goods, TJ Maxx, and Marshalls. Now, it did take a little bit of time, but you know what? I took a Saturday to myself. I went shopping. I did my rounds of all of the stores. I went to the TJ Maxx in Devon. I went to the Home Goods in Radnor. I went to the Marshalls in Conshohocken. And I even stopped at the Home Goods in Willow Grove a little bit later. And I was able to piece this all together. And I'm telling you, I found the clear eggs. I found the mercury glass eggs. I found the pastel eggs. Oh, and the other thing that they have at Pottery Barn are these beaded decorative eggs that you can either hang or kind of bunch together and put them in a bowl or a glass or a vase or something like that. I found those at Marshall's as well. I was so excited. My cart was filled in every store that I went in, but I was able to recreate exactly what I wanted. There was a slight difference. Maybe the size of the eggs was a little bit different. There was more variations in sizes at Pottery Barn. What I got, there's slight size differences, but I pretty much was able to do it. And I'll tell you what, I had such a great night because I found all of that stuff. I hope you guys understand where I'm coming from, but when you get a great find like that, it really does feel good. And now I have my six-year-old who, he's getting it from me, but he absolutely loves to decorate. So I brought everything home. He had set up some of the older stuff that we decided to keep, and he's very excited that I have bags and bags of new Easter decorations. So we're going to set that all up and get that all ready for Easter. And also, I was thinking, is it too early? I kind of thought it was, but not really, because we're less than a month away, so I can put the Easter decorations up, right? Well, we're going to. My son has already started to do that. So, you know, and I do love the do-it-yourself. I did the glitter eggs a few years ago. It was so easy. I found plastic eggs at Michael's. I got spray-on Elmer's glue and then whatever color glitter you want, and I just rolled it in the glitter, and it lasted me a few years. I mean, I could still use them. I just wanted a change of scenery. Another thing that I loved that I had a few years ago that I'm changing up this year, but it's still a good idea, I got a long tin plant holder or flower holder, and I filled it with the Easter grass, and I put three little vases in there, so you couldn't really see the vases. It looked like the flowers would be growing out of the pot. I put the flowers in each of the vases, and then I put Easter eggs on the grass, like around the flowers. It was a cute centerpiece that I used for my kitchen table. So that's just another good idea if you like to do the do-it-yourself thing. I hope if you are headed out to one of those lovely stores today, Home Goods or TJ Maxx or Marshall's, Ross, any of them, and you're looking for something, that you're able to find it today. And you know what? Before we get off of the Home Goods topic, I'm also on a text chain with my mom, two of my cousins, my brother's girlfriend, and a couple of friends. And it's basically our Home Goods alert text chain. If you're out shopping, you find something at Home Goods, you absolutely love it. I went the other day and I found curtains, but of course they only had one set of two and I needed two more sets. So I put the alert out. I sent the picture on this text chain, and anybody who's out at their respective Home Goods, if they could search for the curtains, grab them for me, and then we'll do the exchange next time we see each other. That's what we do. We literally have a text chain surrounding Home Goods because it's such a wonderful store and we love all of the stuff from there. So yeah, so if you find something, but you need an extra or you need another one, you put the alert out on our text chain and somebody will find it at one of the other Home Goods. And there you go. Now you got your set. Ah, the things we do to make our homes look wonderful. Well, I'm glad you're here with me again this morning. I really do appreciate those of you who join me every Sunday here when we speak to influential women in the Philadelphia area, someone who shapes the society that we live in. And don't forget, if you have somebody that you think would be a great fit for Her Story, please email me, herstory@957benfm.com. So let's get to today's guest. We're talking about charter schools today.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 BEN FM.
Today's guest has a doctorate degree in education, is an outspoken advocate for urban youth, and believes we must place our most vulnerable students at the center of the curriculum and school design. Please welcome the network founder and CEO of Fieri Charter Schools, Dr. Kelly Davenport. Kelly, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Are you from the area?
I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, so 2 hours away.
Sure, not too far. And what brought you here?
I went to college here. So I left the area where I grew up, which was Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, outside of Harrisburg, and came to the big city of Philadelphia to go to University of Pennsylvania. And I have left and always come back. And recently I've been here for the last 20 years building these schools.
What keeps you coming back to the Philadelphia area?
I think it's the kids in the urban environment of Philadelphia that fascinate me and keep me sort of plugged in at the level of what motivates me and what matters most to me.
And what was schooling like for you growing up?
It was a little bit provincial and narrow-minded. I was a good student, but never got to interact with the community the way that I had dreamed of.
You started your professional career as a teacher, correct?
I started as a teacher, as a Spanish teacher.
And how long were you teaching?
About 8 years in different environments. I got a master's degree in Spanish literature and linguistics. And the reason that I sort of drove towards this current position is because after studying poetry for 2.5 years, I realized it really wasn't going to change the world as much as it interested me, and that I really wanted to take my language skills into the urban environment and learn the language of the urban kid and help solve for all the problems in education that I was seeing as a Spanish teacher by learning the language of the kids and then starting from there and moving outward towards how to teach them as they taught me.
Did you teach in the city?
No. As a graduate student at University of Pennsylvania, I went back to Penn to get my doctorate. I did a lot of support work for teachers in the district itself, in the school district, and worked to galvanize a group of volunteers to support teachers in the district. But I never taught inside of Philadelphia.
So when and how then did you decide that you wanted to open these charter schools?
It was more that, having worked for a public school outside of the city of Philadelphia, I realized that I was maybe more restless and pushing harder for change than the system would allow me to, and that the way that I was going to do better for our kids was going to be outside of the public school system. And what I realized was that the charter community was a way that I could be an entrepreneur as well as an educator, and in some ways a troublemaker.
Yes, exactly. So tell me about your school's mission.
The mission of our school has evolved over the years, but the key pieces are that starting with the students in the center and the students' voice and drive and passion to ignite them to be excited about teaching and learning, and to do that with teachers who were willing to learn as much from the kids as the kids are willing to learn from the teachers. And to do that in an environment where kids have been traditionally underserved or overlooked, and give them a top-notch education. So 80 to 88% of our kids are below the poverty line. 99% of them are kids of color. Our goal is to take those kids and make them into healthy, liberal arts focused, civic, democratic participants in our city and to make our city a better place.
Where are your schools located?
We have three schools in Philadelphia, one in North Philly, which is Tech Frieri, two in Center City, Philadelphia, called Frieri Charter Middle School and Frieri Charter High School, and one school in Wilmington, which is our Frieri Charter High School in Wilmington.
Now, sometimes charter schools get a bad reputation. Why is that?
Well, there's, I think, several reasons. One reason is that the regulations behind charter schools are really hard to fulfill, and so some charter operators have a hard time doing that. Two, education is inherently political in our country, and so charter schools seem to traditionally fall on one side of the political line, so that automatically divides us. Although really, when you get down to the issues at hand, all of us want all of our kids to be educated at the highest level possible. And charter schools are really just a mechanism, another mechanism or tool that society has to do that. But so I think that they get a bad rap because, one, well, in society, we like to sort of cast away things that we don't fully understand. Two, it's really hard to lead a charter school. The demands are incredible and it's hard to fulfill them all. And then three, I think it's political.
I think you're right, though, that the people running it sometimes are what give charter schools a bad reputation. So tell me then, and this may be re-asking the same question, but why are families then choosing your school? Why are they choosing to send their kids to your school?
They're choosing in droves to send their kids to our school and other highly performing charter schools, I think because they feel shut out of the larger bureaucratic system of the school district. Their voices aren't being represented. Their curriculum's not relevant. And bottom line is the outcomes for the kids we serve inside the traditional school district, the outcomes aren't satisfactory for the families themselves. We all want the best for our kids. We want our kids, no matter who we are in this country, to stand on our shoulders and achieve more and better than we ever did ourselves. And the schools that are traditionally inside the public system don't always do that. And so families are looking for better options for their kids.
So if families are interested in possibly sending a child to one of your schools, what is the admission process?
So charter schools in the state of Pennsylvania and Delaware are completely open admissions. There is no choice by any determining factor other than what the law says, which is that kids have to be age eligible and they have to be geographically eligible. And that's it. And so that's what we are. This is a school for any and every student in our area, as long as they are the right age and they're living within the right geography.
Does it cost the families to send them?
No, it's a totally public school. Charter schools are funded through public tax dollars. So the way funding works is it's almost like every student costs the state an amount of money. And if a child goes to a neighborhood school, that cost is X. And if they go to a charter school, most of those dollars, two-thirds of those dollars follow to the charter school. So the rest of that then is made up through grants and public philanthropy.
So is the public school then pushing the money over to you if a student comes from their district into your school?
That's correct.
Okay.
The Department of Education demands that that money is sent with that child.
Okay, so that's part of the way and how your schools run, but also you do fundraising yourself, correct?
Right, because so we get two-thirds the amount of money to educate a child that the neighborhood schools get here. So we don't receive any tax dollars for bricks and mortar. So charter schools have to raise money for all of their buildings out of nowhere. Tax dollars don't fund that. And then one-third of the educational program is not funded by the tax dollars. So charters have to act like entrepreneurs. And it's sort of that entrepreneurial spirit that makes the school so vibrant. That said, we want to keep our schools public. We are public schools. And in fact, for us, we're trying to make our schools more public than a traditional public school by inviting the community in as much as possible to touch the kids, the curriculum, and make what we are doing relevant to the community itself. Education for education's sake isn't really good enough. Education is for the sake of improving our democracy, making sure that every kid can fulfill his or her potential. And so we need the public to be interfacing and linked with us.
And speaking of the community, you have an event coming up. Is that event open to the community?
It is open to the community, yes. We have an event. It's on June 18th. It starts at 5:30 in our North Philadelphia campus, Tech Frieri. We will be honoring Steve Goodman, who is really the legal founder of the tech community in Philadelphia. I don't know if you realize that technology in Philadelphia is really strong here. We are the eighth largest technology sector in the United States. And so this school we are featuring at this event is trying to plug for the employment gap. We don't have enough citizens in the United States to fulfill all of the employment opportunities in technology. So the dream of this school is that you take kids from urban Philadelphia, you teach them to be technologists and entrepreneurs, and you have those folks plugging the gap economically and from an employment standpoint. So it's a win-win. This event features all of the kids in our network as makers in our Maker Faire. So kids who are producing a movie about their community and about themselves, kids who are writing music with the latest technology skills and will feature that music there, kids who are using digital print technologies to make their own t-shirts, their own things, and sell them there. So this is really to put the students at the center of North Philadelphia and celebrate all that our kids have as makers, as designers, as creators, and as artists.
Money that's raised at this event, tell me exactly what this is going towards. I mean, obviously the school, but what are people giving their money to if they come to this event?
The financial support goes to support our 2,000 students across the network in engaging our students through technology, arts, creativity, so design, digital design, music design, all kinds of technology fused together in a liberal arts way with kids making, being creators and makers of things that matter to them. In my mind, that's truly how students drive their future and drive all of our futures. Hands-on technology applied to the things we all have to learn, the 3 R's, but also the 4 C's, communications, creativity, community, collaboration, all of those things come together in a 21st century way when kids are at the center as makers and when the community itself is there participating with them.
Where is it?
It's at Tech Free Area at 2221 North Broad Street.
And how can people come? Do they just show up or do they have to get tickets?
They'll have to get tickets. So they can send an email to HillarySoren@buildthefuture.org.
And spell that.
HillarySoren at buildthefuture.org.
And when is the event?
June 18th. It starts at 5:30.
Your school is consistently ranked in the top 5 for academic performance among non-selective high-poverty schools.
What that means is schools where we take any and every student. We're not magnet schools. We're not special admit kids. Any and every student from wherever they start academically. We are one of the top performing schools in growing those kids from where they start to when the high stakes testings occur, how far they grow in a specific year. We consistently can take any and every kid and grow them faster, thereby closing the achievement gap.
Have you read M. Night Shyamalan's book by any chance? You have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and if he's listening, we would love to have him at this event. I think he really gets it. He really started to understand in that book what some of the problems are and how we can move forward to solve for them. He could feel the layers of bureaucracy and inaction that were sort of preventing change from occurring. And that's why, like, our school is outside of that. We are able to create and move as quickly as we humanly are able to move.
Dr. Kelly Davenport, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure.
If you'd like to find out more information or get tickets to the event, you can also call 610-605-7422 or go to buildthefuture.org. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.